everybody. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. Okay, wait. Hello, everybody. I can't tell what's going on with my timing. Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. We are so glad that you are here. I have so much to share with you and Janine, and please help me welcome the enchanting Janine Kimmel to the show. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here. Hi, Goldie.
Hi, babe. How are you?
Okay, I'm good, actually.
Yeah?
What's going on? Enjoying the weather and the running in the woods and the beach and listening to some good stuff that you send me, like Breaking the Spell with David Icke, and George's book is great.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely, we
George
should plug Boston. That.
Yeah, it's all good because it all really is helping support seeing things completely the opposite of what you thought. I really am liking that. Yeah, it frees you up, that's for sure.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it really does. It really does.
Yeah.
Before we get into our whole show, I just want to address there's some people, dear friends of ours, Sylvan and Tricia, having trouble with the chat rooms. To be honest, our chat rooms have definitely been, attendance has been a little low lately. I'm not sure what's going on. Blog Talk Radio, we've been having echo issues on a couple of weeks ago. We had it on a couple of shows. I would love to have you guys here, but listen, on some level there's like, the wisdom to say anytime we're not getting what we want, the wisdom is always, but can I accept it as it is?
Right.
And in my humble opinion, when we accept it fully, down to the cells of our being, in our blood, in our breath, that which we want seems to happen. But Sylvan and Tricia, we love you guys, and we're so glad. And listen, if you do me messages, I have my Facebook up. I'm not on the page, but it will show up as I get a message. If you have comments or anything, I'm happy to relay them onto the show for you guys. And we're really grateful you're here. So we're grateful everybody's here. So go ahead.
Yeah, and you know what I love about that? What you just displayed so well, which was because I was thinking it and then you said it, and it wasn't that I was thinking about Facebook, but I was thinking how these times especially are supporting becoming inventive or resourceful or plan B or think of another way. And I love that I literally was thinking that when you said the chat room isn't maybe working, and then you said, well, just message me on Facebook, and I'm like, there it is. There's the inventiveness. And so I love that because the flexibility in having us be like that is so fluid, and we instead of panicking or getting uptight, you just sort of dance into another way of doing it. And I love that, I've noticed that lately. It's always that don't panic, just find another way, or, no need to panic,
Including the acceptance of that whatever it is we want doesn't happen. I say that because that in and of itself can often be, from my perspective, our spirits are wanting us, it almost feels like, our ego tugs to get us in a direction. It's like, we're chugging along like, the little trains that could. And it appears to me that spirit has a way of just, it's very almost methodical. But and not from my perspective, meaning I can't understand the mythology, but our spirit tends to just inchly, or just minutely go, you can't get over there, but maybe you'll go over there. Maybe you'll go to that other new way, like you're saying, that the new way. but it all comes in the package of, like you're saying, not to be, don't go into a panic, and the key is
no victim consciousness. Because I've seen it happen, where, even you were just telling me something before we got on the radio, and it brought up again where I, you know, think my book should go, and then it doesn't, and but then something else opens up, but the one I thought it should, and then you realize, oh, I know what it was about, the nanny things. It was about,
right,
you know, go, like, move where there's a welcoming, move where, you know, where, I mean, this sounds, I always say, oh my God, it sounds so cliche, but it's true. It's like, go where the love is, and it's like,
absolutely,
you know, go where the welcome is, or like the river would flow instead of the forcing, and then, I don't know, this fluidity just takes on. And yeah, if at times you notice the fear or resistance to something because it's not working out the way you thought, but then all of a sudden, like my famous trip to Princeton that I never got there.
You know, the labyrinth?
My way to the labyrinth, and I turned around, and it just wasn't meant to be, but then I heard this really great interview on NPR, and I was like, hey, it was worth it. There it is. I wasn't meant to go to Princeton, you know. So all
right.
Those things show up, and you know, you start becoming very kind of nimble at it, you know. And
this is beautiful. Listen, I'm getting the sense that everything we talk about, you know, I love that we bring attention to the small, you know, the little things in life. There's a sensation that I receive on certain people's walls and stuff on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
of they're waiting for something big to happen. You know, they're, you know,
so
Planet
yeah,
X
yeah.
or, you know, something to come into the arena. And listen, I'm with you. I'm also, you know, I'm waiting for something big to happen, but there is a trap or a potential trap in waiting for the big, the miracles are in the small.
Yeah, they are.
And it's in the every single day of, you know, the daily experiences, what's in fluidity and what's being kind of, you know, what's dragging along, because, you know, everybody, you know, that's been listening to the shows, I had somebody connect with me looking, they contacted me looking for a nanny, and they first wanted mornings and afternoons, and this is what I've been doing lately. Like, you know, I sit with it, and I feel, you know, the needs. It was a one child, which I liked. It was a 3.5-year-old. I preferred to come in a little younger with a new family, but, you know, I was like, you know, God, Golda, can't be picky. Got to make your money where you're making your money. But inevitably, I was like, you know what? Going back and forth two times a day, you know, like from 6:30 to 8:30 in the morning, and then from like 3:30 to like 7, and this is 5 days a week, I really went, that's just not working with my desire at that time to be in the woods. You know, like, it was just like I didn't want to have to do that much. I didn't want to have that much responsibility for the morning. And I said to her, listen, I appreciate it. I have some creative projects of my own, and the time frame doesn't work. How about if we, you know, I went, you know, I know you're looking for one person to do, and she had specified that she wants one person to do both. And I said, I totally respect that. You know, best luck. Best of luck to you. And then she responded almost immediately with, listen, we really like you. We're willing to get a separate morning person. I went, well, all righty then. I was really excited. I went, wow, you know, it just felt like I stated what I wanted, and here we were both going to get it. And I was like, okay. And she's like, well, how can I get a hold of you? And I shot her my cell number, and then here's the strange thing. I didn't hear from her for 3 days.
Okay.
You know, and I went,
right,
it just,
right.
there's something that I've been tracking in myself lately, and that is momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a momentum going between me and this woman, and here's the interesting thing. The fact that this job was 5 days a week is a little more than I wanted to take on. But I was like, well, let me see what the hours are. You know, I'm not going to make that decision without even speaking to her. We're just at the negotiate. You know, we're just at the introduction part.
Right.
I'm very clear that I have a choice to choose the job or not. But I got this, like, strong response in myself yesterday going, you know, people that don't know how to hold on to this momentum, it's almost like seeing the wind between the leaves. I just literally got that there's chaos in this woman's life.
Right.
That you're looking to hire a nanny. I shoot you my cell phone. You tell me you're interested. And for 3 days, and we went over the weekend. So meaning, you know, I don't know what her situation is, but I'm assuming she's not working over the weekend. That would have been the time to call. And she didn't. And, you know, it just became, it became a sensation. And I went, I just emailed her and went, something else has come up. I found another solution, and it's, I'm not lying, you know, because it's not that another nanny job came up. I'm just following the intuition that I was like, you know, this is, I want to be clean. The feelings I'm getting, I'm really, really trusting the sensations. And this is not about not wanting to work. Because the work that I do, I love. I love being around children. This is really about refining what I call the golden handcuffs and not just taking jobs, quote unquote, because I need the money. Because, I mean, Sahana and Anya's mom, I mean, she's keeping me busy. And it's funny because both of the grandparents are going to India for like the next 3 or 4 months, which are essentially Anya and Sahana's parents' backup. So I have a strong sensation that for the next 3 or 4 months, which gets me to 2013, and those are kind of like the kind of chunks of time I like working with. You know, okay, let's just work with the next 3 to 4 months. That I'm comfortable in not saying that something can't dramatically change, you know, within the second. I get that. I've lived through enough of those. But it just seems like I'm content, and I feel confident that for the next couple of months, you know, the money that I need will be there. And this is a family I'm with for 8 years. They can clearly afford me, you know, so you know, it's all going well. But the reason why I'm sharing this is it comes down to this tracking situation, that the tracking is, for me, you know, when I have dear friends of mine that are sharing with me that they're feeling stuck or they're in a loop, and for me, the minute something feels stuck, there is a sensation that rises in me that says, okay, there's something that wants to come into you or into myself, if I'm the one that feels stuck, that we're not allowing in. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jay, would you be open to sharing the situation that went down, last week with your son?
And sure.
Okay,
yeah,
because that's an example of it. There you go.
Right. Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, meaning the journey of it.
No, and the sensations. Because, see, the tracking, when you said the word tracking, I also felt that the word sensing was similar to tracking in that, but it's kind of a newer awareness, because you know, I liked the word you used, which was refining, because it's a refining quality, because very similar to first, and I'll definitely go into that, but
okay.
Very similar to where I think, you know, my book events or books should show up. Similar to this woman that said, yeah, and then you don't hear from her, I notice, there is a momentum, there's a workability, there's a back and forth that you feel this, it's, you know, moving along kind of thing. And then when you don't, you know, you notice it, and it is a sensing or a tracking. And that's when I said to myself, you know, and this is why saying, you know, no, or not pursuing it anymore, just because you're sensing that there isn't this, exchange, and there is a chaos, and it's almost like, do I really need to keep repeating that pattern, you know, of the, I got myself into something, and all of a sudden, though, that, you know, there's all this chaos, and it's not working out, and there's this standstill, then there's, you know, and it becomes kind of like, like instead of running along smoothly, it's like a jerking, you know. So you know, that's one thing I've noticed with myself a lot lately. And yeah. So anyway, back to
by the way, just so
week,
you know, I've never heard you say that, but for me, when I heard the jerking, you know what that is? That's jumping timelines, or it could be. I don't like that's a sensation I'm getting, like. You know,
well,
it's going,
and
you know, I felt that way before too, where I'm like, you know, my energy feels like it's just something that popped in. Okay.
No, and that's interesting because I have a really good friend, Patrick O'Neill, who when I went to do a workshop with him, so interesting that it was all about the heart, which is gonna be for my next story, but you know, that I'll tell in a few minutes. But I remember when we all sat there and he was opening up, just talking to us, that he goes, okay, so one thing is really good when you're coming together in a place like this in a meeting is that we want to acknowledge that we're all on different timelines. He goes, some of us are in the past and some of us in the future. And he goes, really, really for us to be effective, we all want to come into like this one timeline. So I thought, you know, that really is true though. And it's a great, you know, even in understanding what that means, that when you're literally not in the moment, you are on another timeline. So perhaps when we're interacting with people where there seems to be like a lack of smoothness and momentum, it's possible that, you know, really maybe that is it. We're not on the same timeline. And it's like, and you know what? When you're not on the same timeline, it's very ineffective. Because like for me, it's about workability, you know, and I mean that in a really positive way because I feel, you know, and I said this to Goldie today, I'm like, I'm really focused. And it's like, and I think that I'm in this real workability energy where, you know, I'm moving and it's like, and hey, I think that that is from a sensing and a tracking. And I do think that my experience last week kind of brought me to a new place of freedom, liberation, opening, because I dealt with some heart issues in a very conscious way. So
yes.
So the story is that, you know, I was talking to my son, 27 years old, you know, musician, very, you know, very, very lovely. We have a good relationship, very lovely. But, you know, we have strong personalities. He does. He's 27 and, you know, he's his own person. And who knows what's going on for him, but, you know, in his own internal process, coming out with an album and all. So I was talking to him about my book, and we were having, you know, what was in the beginning was, I thought, constructive, you know, conversation. And next thing you know, he starts getting really, like, his demeanor went into sort of this demanding, telling me what to do, but the tonality was really rough. He, you know, he actually, you know, he said a few things that weren't very nice. I mean, they weren't horrible at all. Trust me, this is like pretty wild that, you know, I guess I am sensitive because he said I was immature. And I'm going to myself, I'm going, ooh, that really doesn't fit, you know? And I'm like, really? And so, you know, but his demeanor, his tone, the fact that he was saying this stuff, and it was coming out of nowhere, like as far as I was concerned. And
right.
So it felt really like hurtful, and I'm a pretty level-headed, conscious, you know, stable person. So this wasn't like lose your mind kind of stuff, but I was really noticing.
But it knocked you off balance.
I was noticing that I was surprised by his level of just demeanor and insensitivity in a way, but he didn't know it because I was like, he's not aware of how much this is affecting me, you know.
Right.
So he went upstairs but I really felt, wow, I thought he knew me better than this. But then again, it probably honestly had nothing to do with me, but it felt like it had something to do with me.
Well, the part that's triggered has something to do with
me. Yeah, you. Yeah.
But not the reason why he's saying it.
But whatever he was saying, right. So it really felt, you know, without trying to sound exaggeration-ish.
No,
I felt heartbroken. he went upstairs and I already had my running clothes on, like what I would do to go walk or run in the woods, which I love to do, and I hadn't done it yet that day. And I just said, go move, go breathe, go just be with yourself. This is a tough place, but it's you know what this is like. And so I went to the woods, and I really had to in retrospect, when Goldie and I were talking later, I really realized that I was handling some heartbreak issues, some heart pain, but in a very conscious way. I was there, which I would say I was being very responsible for my feelings. I was acknowledging that my heart felt broken, and but not in this trying to express, not in this massive way, not in this out of control, drive the car off the road. I was just really cognizant of my feelings. And so, I went to the woods, and I just I am my own coach, so to speak. I mean, really, I am.
Yeah.
And that I think is the conscious part where you're very aware of, I'm like my own client. I'm going, okay,
You're your best client.
I moved. It was literally gorgeous out. I mean, the lighting at 3 in the afternoon, it was like, golden and beautiful. And I was in green, and, it was 12 feet for me. And, there were goldenrod fields of flowers and
nice.
Just beautiful. And just, I was with this feeling of hurt and heartbreak, and it wasn't like a lashing out, like texting my son going, "You hurt me so much." This was just a true, responsible handling of my feelings. And
okay.
I came home. He had already left for his music studio and was off, for a few days doing whatever he does. And I took an outdoor shower because we have one and it's incredible here. And I made a huge salad, and then
self-care. I would call that
self-care. Very nurturing, very conscious. Once again,
very
conscious. Like, that is probably, if there is a seed I was trying to give to anyone listening, is that I acknowledged the feelings because they were real to me. They were real, but I was conscious of them for myself and how I would handle them. I wasn't going to deny them, but I also wasn't going off on some tyrant, and I wasn't making myself a victim. I was truly acknowledging that I felt heartbroken. And, this I'm sure, isn't recent heartbreak. This could be, old heartbreak or, needed to come up heartbreak. And then there's my son giving the opportunity, timing's right, time to deal with some stuff, let it bring it up, deal with it. I have to say, we have a very deep connection. So who better to bring up this stuff than someone you're deeply connected to? And so, I don't mean anybody can bring it up for you, but in this case, it was
him. But the truth that you brought that up to me saying, we got to value the relationship if we're going to work it through ourselves. If someone you don't care about, they can maybe send an arrow that stings.
Yeah.
Well, I won't speak for you all.
If I don't value the
relationship, I don't process it the same way as when I do.
Well, no, that's very true. And of course, those that you deeply are connected to, and especially Lifetime or Sun, I am a sincere person. I take things seriously, So
when you're sensitive, exactly.
Yeah.
That's your gift.
Now,
but it's also, it's challenging to be that way in a world that's, going through a massive compression.
Right. And what's interesting is this isn't necessarily, this is a twofold kind of thing where the heartbreak was something already existing in me. So, this was a way that it came up to my attention so I could deal with it, because what really was significant later And Goldie spoke to me later the next day, and she could even still hear something going on for me, although I had moved somewhat past it. It's still there's, I still wasn't, quote, free or liberated. And, you know, so she was talking to me, and she's being, you know, like a really good friend, and, you know, inviting me to, like, be open, Jay. And I was. And, you know, whatever that was, it had its time with me. And then in this conscious way, I have to say that the following day, so, it happened on, say, one day, I spoke to Goldie the next day. The following day, I noticed, tracked myself, you know, and a sensing, but truly noticed I had an uncanny, liberated, freeing, I felt freer. I felt, and I said to Goldie, I was being very playful and going, you know, I feel like I have my revolutionary, like, blood back, or it was in my blood. But what it felt to me was that I really had dealt with something internal, and I felt freer. I felt, you know, almost like feisty, but like in a great way, like yeah, you know, ready. I'm ready. You
yeah
know, and
I'm stronger. I'm
it's
stronger.
Like a preparedness, or
yeah,
you know, but it was very you know, it was very invigorating. I was very fun. I was funny. I was lighter, and I felt it, you know. And then, okay, just synchronistically, here's a couple things. One is when I came in from the park and took this outdoor shower, and you know, there, you know, just great smells, and you're outside, and squirrels are on branches above the shower. It's fantastic. And then I make this green salad, and I'm eating it, and then I hear the little bing that an incoming mail, you know, makes on your laptop. And I looked and I saw my PR person had sent me an email that said, a review for you, an exclamation point. And honestly, it was an incredible review of my book by this man from L.A. And I kept looking at it going, is this for real? I'm like, oh my God, this man was spot on about my book and what my book was, about understanding the mysteries of life and nature and a way of explaining the unexplainable through fairy tale. And it was an extraordinary review. And I was looking at it going, isn't that amazing that came in when, you know, I'm just sitting here in this place, just coming out of, like, or, you know, out of this conscious feeling of heartbreak that was activated and dealing with it consciously. And then the review comes up, and that was beautiful. And once again, like Goldie said, it's in the little things, like the moments, you know. So synchronistically, I talked to Goldie the next day. She can kind of hear it in me still, because she can sort of sense it in her body and almost like my tonality. And
exactly.
Then,
it's a sensation. Good, Kurt.
Right.
Go
and
on.
Then I take my mom the next morning on a early morning ferry to New York City for the eye doctor. And we're standing on the dock waiting for the ferry at like 6:45 in the morning. And it's just beautiful. Like the sun is just coming up. Seagulls are calling out. All the people waiting for the ferry are just in like some peaceful, quiet mode. My mother goes, isn't it beautiful out? You know, and it was. And then we go to the eye doctor, and she doesn't need the medicine, and that's somewhat good, but, you know, she has she has challenging eye problems. So, and then we get in the cab, and we meet the most, you know, incredible man from Bangladesh, talking about his family and how we're all like connected. And he was the most caring, like, you know, it was an extraordinary sharing of like humanity in a cab ride from like 57th Street and Park to 35th Street in the East River. And like, I'm like, this is just amazing how life is. This guy is beautiful. And it was like we were family. And my mom is just like talking to him, and she's 85, and she's feisty, and, you know, a true democratic, caring, like, you know, all for, like, it's just not all about her and what's good for her and her family. It's about more for, you know, her and her family and other people. And, you know, it was just a great moving into, like, place that I have a feeling that the time before with my son and dealing with the heartbreak feeling and, you know, really.
Well, and it's not just, you know, I think it was bigger than your son.
We're having a conversation.
Remember the cab driver the week before? I mean, I'm still tracking you going, you know, her son was in the middle of something, because the week before, what was the cab like when you went with your mom?
The week before, because we had to go to the eye doctor then we get back to Jersey, but we had to take a cab to another parking lot. So we get in a cab where this man, the minute you get in the cab, first of all, Rush Limbaugh, he's got a blasting at top audio, you know, like coming out of the back speakers. And, you know, my mom's 85, has just had 2 injections in her eyes. I get in the car. Rush Limbaugh is, like, blaring on the radio. The guy, you could just feel the like, oh, no, the rage coming off him, you know. And he's like, and what about this politics and, you know, all this lying for the last 4 years? And what do you feel about it? And I go, you know, we have enough stress right now, me and my mom. And we're just going to sit back here. And he goes, oh, okay. But then he starts talking again about the 4 years, and I've had enough of this. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh's yelling too, so they've got the 2 yellings. And my mom and me were like slowly like pushing elbows against each other going, you know, like, can you believe this guy, you know? And, you know, we're like, oh. So she's like, I could tell what my mom's thinking. Just get me out of this cab, you know?
Right.
So as we're about to get open the door, the guy has the amazing audacity after all his ranting and raving and, you know, I guess I would probably call it hate mongering. He goes, God bless you. And I'm going,
well, but you know,
oh,
what? I guess in his God, that's the way his God
works.
Yes,
I really, you know, I could have looked at him and said, "You got to be kidding, right?" But I didn't. I just wanted to get my mother home. But it was truly, like Goldie reminded me, because I would have forgot. It truly was such an amazing difference of
transformation
of experience. You know, you've got yes, and so. You know, and I'll tell you, I highly recommend that when you notice something's activating a real true feeling of heartbreak, that, you know, that's real for you, and you really do want to handle it consciously, because on the other side of that is a liberation. It is a lightening, a freedom, you know, and then obviously even, you know, look, the synchronistic things that occurred after it, the beautiful review, the taxi cab driver, the, you know, the sunrise with the seagulls, my mom and her, you know, she enjoyed the day, believe it or not, and her calmness, and she's really funny. And, you know, and so, you know, there was just this vibe, I have to say. And I think that, you know, you can't deny that my internal process affects my external world. And the beauty is to just consciously handle it, you know, and I do think that the conscious part of it is what if you look at how I handled it, which was feel it, but then I did nurture myself. I took care of myself. You know,
still stayed open. Because what I try to, you know, these are personal experiences that, you know, we can share it, but in order for you guys who are listening, in order to have, you know, the insights and everything, there, from my perspective, it really comes down to, you know, the first part is the trigger. The next part is, you know, how we sit with the trigger.
Trigger activator, you know, even activator, because the thing
activator,
that, you know,
absolute same thing.
Yeah,
almost.
Same thing.
And so see what I love is you know all of us have been programmed that we when we get triggered, you know, the next stage that we want to do is, you know. I'll only speak for myself, but it seems pretty popular amongst the American people anyways. You know, you basically want to, there's a pain inside you, and you look around for the first nearest thing that, where can I give this pain to? I don't want this pain. This pain sucks.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether we kick the dog, scream at our mother, you know, start a fight with our boyfriend, whatever it is.
Yeah, text raging the ridiculous, you know, things at each other.
Yeah, that whole mental,
you know,
concept.
You hurt
of
me. Blame. You know.
Yeah.
You know. It rather than go within, take responsibility for your feelings, acknowledge them, be open to them, realize, you know, there is, you know, that there. See that? Oh, so you know.
No,
first
see
of
that's
all,
the point, though. What you're that is a critical move in order to make the pain the trigger. Move your soul. See, if we respond in the mind, which is essentially, I'm just going to use this from a symbolic point of view, if we respond from the mind and kick the dog, that trigger has not become a soulful experience. Because what we took that emotion, that sensation, that literally, and George talks about this in the book, that there's this point where the polarities meet. So if we know ourselves to be divine beings, and truly, like, you know, I look at Jay and I go, you know, I've never met a person so genuinely poetic in how she lives her life. I mean, just, you know, strong in her sensitivity. And I say that meaning she does have both sides. She is strong, but she's very sensitive. She's teaching me, just by me being around her, how to become soft again, but in my strength. And,
right.
And there's this point that I'm clearly seeing in my own experience that when I take the trigger, and God knows Scott has been this for me, you know, for many years, many, many years, when the pain comes in, instead of bringing it up to the mental and kicking the dog, you literally sit with it, and it's not about releasing it. It's literally about you go now, bring it in deeper. And I've heard a lot of people say, I have sat with this, you know, I've gone within, I've sat with it. Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that is your mind telling you, I should have been done with this already. Enough of this goddamn pain. I don't want to feel it. I should have been done with this. See, but this is the organic, my friends. So this is not, we don't tell the organic when the breakthrough will happen and the transformation will occur. We are kind of surrendering to the organic that it, you just sit with it. But you don't stop sitting with it until you get the breakthrough. Once you get the breakthrough, then you know from the organic point of view that you have integrated it. And in my humble opinion, you'll know it because you will go from the point where it's very uncomfortable. The pain is there. You're still, you know, like Jeanine said, self care. You know, you're still moving amongst the planet and the world.
Right.
But you keep your energy kind of focused within. You know, these are not the days where you necessarily might, you know, listen to a friend. You know, if a friend calls you up and say, "Hey, can I vent to you?" No, not today. Not today, because you're already nurturing the pain within you. Now, once you have the breakthrough, that's a great time to be able to listen to a friend, because then you can share that, you know, your venting is prohibiting you from having this breakthrough.
Yes, right,
you know,
right,
it becomes, everything in life starts reflecting the true sense of self. The soul,
yeah.
The soul sense. Well, you got me fired up tonight.
No, I love it because it's true that there's a, you know, it's almost so sensory and experiential that, like, you know, listening to storytelling and stories is so good, and because you can take people with you. But, you know, it really is like the, well, and I love that, you know, and thank you for saying that my life is poetic, because I do think that when you allow yourself to feel the heartbreak, you know, that is really the poet, because the poets do that, you know, and
right.
life
right.
is poetic when you allow that to happen, when you
right.
don't have to, you know, necessarily, you know, maybe your first response would be, I'm going to call someone and tell them how mean my son was to me. You
right.
know, no,
right.
No,
get rid of the pain. You know what that
no.
is? Energetically, we want to, it's about releasing it. I don't want this in my body.
And it's also a little bit of like expending energy, but not effectively. It's
because
like
it's mental.
Almost,
because it's
yeah.
mental.
And it, and so, you know, the thing about, you know, and you know, here's something that was going on, you know, in my inner dialogue at that time was,
okay, good, good. Share. Yeah.
Which was like, I've been here before. I know this
well.
Feeling. This is heartbreak, you know, and I there's like nothing you do about it, but I recognize that I knew this place, you know? So,
yeah.
And it's interesting because a lot of times these moments will come out of nowhere and you'll be like, wow, you know, but there's beauty in it. And that's where the poetry comes in because, you know, the if your first instinct is to call up and chat about it, you know, one of the recommendations I would make is don't. You know,
sit silent with it.
You know,
yes.
whether you want to, I mean, I do think that being in nature and moving in nature is a quite incredibly nurturing, but you're not like, you know, this isn't like frantic, let me get on the Stairmaster and act crazy. No, I don't mean that. You know?
I appreciate you explaining that, but I don't think anybody listening to you ever thought you meant that.
No, because there's some great movies where they have like some woman who's like upset. She gets on the treadmill of their Stairmaster.
No, it's a beautiful
like,
vision.
And she's
yes.
acting obsessive
Perfect.
Crazy, you know. But
right.
but being in nature, just breathing, you know, then obviously the outdoor shower with the water that Goldie
yeah.
will be happy to talk about later.
Oh.
And you know, all just the making of, like, you know, for me, preparing food. There is poetry in everything for me, you know.
Absolutely.
And so
for everyone, if they're willing to see it.
Right. And I have to say that every minute forward from my moment was unpredictable. You know, I just knew I was just in this space. I was just letting it happen, you know. But how wild was it that, you know, this email pops up and it says a review for you ! Now I'm you know, I don't get them every day. I might get one every 5 to 6 weeks, so, you know, that was an interesting timing of
yes.
a man. Right, so that was beautiful.
Well,
and
because
then,
it's almost like what you always tell me, where it's like, you know, we're processing parts of us, but that's
yeah.
not all of our life. You know, like, you know, sometimes
right.
the pain, we go into the space of everything is falling apart. Oh my! And you've showed this to me on so many
right.
times where you're like, Goldie, everything's not falling apart. You're really doing quite well right now.
Right, right. We're just tweaking and we're handling, you know, obviously what I think which is great is we're handling parts of ourselves from the past that are still waiting for us to see that self, you know, and
well, remember
and
the quote that I put on this week? I want to read
yes,
it.
Yes. Beautiful.
Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.
There you go. And
that's
true.
What this is about.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is about. So you let it, you know, here it is. And you can't force this, like, you know, I'm going to, you know, email my son and tell him to come in and, you know, have an argument with me.
Yeah, no, you can't force that, Jen.
No, that naturally happen, you know. But,
right.
But
right.
they do. They organically happen. And this is where the tracking and the sensing comes in. And this is where the
right.
conscious awareness of the process, you know, where you just, you're just, you know, it's amazing, really, like, because it's, you're in the process and you are functioning in the world, but it's like a both end. It's like, it's quite astonishing, really. You know, like, if you're allowing a process to really beat, you're in it. You're living your life, but you're literally in a process. And you know, it can last a couple hours.
This is a forever thing, though. Don't you?
The one particular thing. You
oh,
know,
right.
It's like
okay, right,
right.
Right. Segments.
So
segments.
For me,
yes.
Segments. Right. Right.
Yes.
So that was my that was something
Thank
I
you for
experienced
sharing
last.
That. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, though. You know, since the beautiful cab ride and then coming back, and then you could even hear a difference in my voice. Remember when you said, "Oh yeah, I can hear it."
I can hear it. I mean, see, it's so interesting because I can feel these things. These are
right.
And
right.
I'm learning because of the tracking and the consciousness that I'm doing with my own being. You know, I can feel when people are resisting and it's like, okay, that's wonderful, but it's so funny because there are people that I'll bring up to them. No, I know you think you've gone within and you're like, it doesn't work. It's like, no, it will work.
Right.
Because you'll feel it. I can feel the resistance, but again, it's a lot of people in their resistance basically tell me, you know, well, go jump off a cliff, Goldie. I don't care what you say. I'm telling you, I've done it. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, because what I'm trying to communicate here is you'll know you've done it when you have the break. Because I tell them, well, then call me with the breakthrough. Because the breakthroughs aren't just mine. I haven't cornered the market on the breakthrough. I've cornered the market on, I know how this works because I live it. Sit with it until it feels amazing. And I mean supercalifragilistic amazing, because every time you get the breakthrough, that is the energy. It's what encourages you to sit with it the next time. I'm not just sitting in pain because, you know, I'm a sadistical person. I'm not. I hate pain. But I know that breakthrough, and
but,
it has
but, you know, these are windows of opportunity,
there.
Goldie. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
We were talking about
absolutely.
That, and if the more in flow we become, and sensory, and tracking, and kind of like, you know, it's that for me, it's the both end. It's being present here, and you know, but also there's this kind of awareness that, and we were talking about this where. For me, now that I'm thinking about it, because Goldie and I were talking about windows of opportunity where you're kind of being supported by, you know, all that is, so to speak. And,
right.
You know, and if you act with it, you will benefit. And I think that now, you know, we had this conversation today, which had nothing to do with my experience last week. But now that we're talking about it, I see really... Now that I think about it, that was a window of opportunity that presented itself to me, and I took it.
Absolutely.
Right. So
absolutely.
And you're forever changed. That's the cool thing. You know.
Now you're that again, because that's the point. Say that again.
Well, so there's these windows of opportunity. Both
no,
big
no, no, I'm talking about the forever change part.
Wait, no, but, you know, so there's windows of opportunity, both big and small, in moments and increments, and also bigger ones, where if you respond to them in a way that you're open and you're conscious, you work with it, you are forever changed.
Right on.
And you are. I mean,
you
and,
are.
You know, I love that.
Because, see, this is the integration that
right.
you want to talk about ascending. Ascending
right.
is not about kicking the dark side, the shadow side of self to the curb. That
not
is
at all. You will not.
Not at all. That
no, because
is a trap and destructive. Yes,
right.
Totally.
And missed opportunities are ways of not integrating, not doing the Carl Jung thing that Goldie just read, and
right.
you will have to revisit it, and you know, fine, that's fine too, but it's, you know, kind of isn't, it's not as fun, because the feeling of being liberated and free, and sort of, you know, quote, the bondage, or the, as Goldie calls it, the golden handcuff, that, you know, they you definitely unequivocally feel a sense of liberation. And
absolutely,
it's not a light or dark thing. It's just a liberation. I guess it's a knowing yourself even more or something, you know. And so, you know, or maybe the heart.
Well, it's the
heart,
integration of the self. Meaning, because it is knowing yourself more, but it's the two poles. It's the pain of the broken heart. Just as the pain of the broken heart aligned. And this word alignment is, I mean, I'm getting that. Well, it's the integration of the pain of the broken heart aligned with awareness. That's the aligning technology, so to speak. Integrating with self-care and self-love, because there are so many people out there right now that don't affiliate. If you don't feel good, they affiliate that, well, then you're not self-loving to yourself. You know, and it's like, boy, you couldn't be farther from the truth. Sitting and accepting all of this darkness that we feel in the world right now, and God knows there's a lot of darkness out there, and out there slash in there, in us.
Yeah.
You know, we have been on this journey for, you know, 26,000 years, 26 million years. You know, listen, who cares about the time frame? Let's just call it a really long time. a really long journey of coming into the universe of light, as George Kavassalis says. You know, we came here to learn everything we could about light, and you cannot learn about light if you don't couple it with being dark. Because it's impossible to learn only about light without understanding the dark. It's just impossible. So,
and I also think that we've been enculturated, programmed, you know, conditioned to really think that the dark is something we can't handle within ourselves, which is absolutely absurd when you think of it as, if it's yourself, why would you ever make yourself, you know, the enemy? See, I think that other cliche, I've now come to terms with the idea that if someone says that to me, I'm my own worst enemy, I want to bring it to their attention, that what they're saying, because the truth is there's nothing inside of you, in your internal process, that you can't handle, that isn't an opportunity to actually bring it in, and because you, it's you. So this conditioning that we should be afraid of ourselves is really, I mean, you know, I look at it now and go, wow, you know, that is nothing I would ever help or support someone. I always tell them, here's the good news. All the things you think you can't handle about yourself, you can, and don't, you know, and just don't be afraid of them, because that means you've been conditioned to think that you are your own enemy, and you're not. So
you're not. An illusion.
It is.
Exactly.
It's either conditioning, a program, a falsehood. You can call it anything you want, and you know, and so I, you know, it's funny because when people get that they understand that, I say, you know, it's like you just won the lottery, because you literally, if you can understand that, you literally have no longer a avoidance of yourself, of like what you think the ultimate boogeyman is inside of you, and you can't handle it, and therefore you need medication, and therefore you need this, and therefore you need that. And it's like, you know, that none of that is, to me, that's all falsehood, that you can't handle the unconscious, the subconscious of yourself. It's a fiction, you know. And Carl Jung, who I
it's a big lie, definitely.
Carl Jung is so brilliant in his, you know, and so far from perfect, which I love. That, you know, he really understood that, you know, that the demons are to be invited. You know, it's like, you know, here we
they're,
are.
They're
we are,
us.
We
they're
are
us.
Yeah, we're opportunities for you to know yourself and become liberated. You know,
absolutely.
So I'll just say it again, because it sounds really like impactful.
Go, babe.
But you are forever changed when you allow that to happen.
Sweet.
So Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. Right on.
You're welcome. You're
yeah,
welcome.
That was hot. That was hot. We like hot around here. It's a hot kitchen. We like it.
You're welcome.
Okay, I'm gonna shift gears a little
yeah.
bit. Because I want to get into something that feels
okay.
very present as well, and that is, this comes again from the tracking. Earlier this week on Friday, I had posted a post in the morning. I'll read it. Morning, all you wonderful, crazy souls who chose to be here now. Hang on to your Mad Hatters. This wild ride is just getting started. Now, what's really interesting about that post, and this is what I've been experiencing actually a lot lately, is after I wrote that post, it was raining cats and dogs that morning, and
mm-hmm.
I was at Scott's house, and I had to go back to my dad's house because I had a nanny gig with the girls, and it was really interesting. So I'm driving on the Merritt Parkway, which is a road that is built from a dried-up riverbed, and it's a highway road, which is, when you think about these things, why would you build, I get it, you know, they built the road on the riverbed because they didn't have to dig it out, but a riverbed is like, so water naturally rides the Merritt Parkway because that's what a riverbed is. It's the natural flow of the lowest point of water following its lowest point, or however that works. So when it rains, it's almost like snow and ice. It's a pretty dangerous situation. So I'm driving home. I'm listening to George Kavassalis narrate his book. He's literally talking about, and I'm noticing this, he's talking about us dropping into dimensions and projecting ourselves. And me and Janine have been talking about that recently as well. And if we have time on the show, we'll share. And if not, we'll share. It'll all come out. So I'm feeling really expanded. I'm dropping into the seventh dimension. I'm projecting myself. I can feel this. And all of a sudden, I look up, and holy moly, their traffic is right at my doorstep. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know how many feet it was, but I slammed on the brake, and I knew it. I was like, I'm going to start skidding because I know the Merritt Parkway when it rains. So I pump. I know how to pump my brakes. I pump it in the snow. I pump it in the ice. That wasn't stopping the car. I literally pulled off the side of the road and was – it took me about three car lengths to stop off the side of the road. I actually, God bless my car. The right hand tire, the passenger side tire, there was a big ditch. I saw this like big ditch, and I'm like going as I was, you know, slammed on the brakes, you know, trying to stop in on the off side of the road, which is on the Merritt Parkway. It's very it's all trees and woods and dirt, and God bless Yoda. She went right over the ditch and stopped like, you know, just a few feet after that, and I was shaking like a leaf. I mean, and then all of a sudden, the thing that's so funny was I started cracking up going, oh, yeah, you posted it's a wild ride, Goldie. Well, what the hell do you think is going to happen? And I'm going, oh, wow. Like, I mean, I just was like, you can't deny you post a wild ride, and then a half an hour later, you're having a wild ride. Now, this seems to be happening. Whatever's going on in the month of October, as much as we're having the integration going on, which is, you know, the shadows and the unconscious coming up to be felt and reintegrated back into our beings, there's also the flip side, which is the expansion and the clarity and the awareness of, like, how our energy influences the world around us. Because another thing that happened, which was really kind of interesting, I was in the woods. I was at a spot where, if you've been listening to the show, this is the spot where the 13 kids
came to kind of play in the reservoir. And, you know, I had just been listening to a tape of Carolyn Mace with Self-Confidence. And it just seems to be it's a spot that I guess is pretty well known amongst the hikers of Devil's Den, which is the woods that I go in. So I was sitting there. It was windy. It was kind of chilly. And it was the kind of day I'm like, yes, nobody's here. People don't want to hike on a day like this. They want the gorgeous days. This is, you know, kind of a cold and, you know, chilly day. Nobody's going to be here. And I was verbally sharing with the forest how appreciative I am of the trees and the dirt and the animals and the wind and the water, which was right next to me. And these three women came up to, I'm about 10 feet off of the trail. So they came up to the trail, and, you know, I'm immediately like, God damn it, man. You know, I was just thinking about how nice nobody it is that nobody's here. And what was interesting, they stayed for a very short period. They were taking pictures. But there was something distinct that I got in the interaction. And what that was I got the sense that they thought I was a homeless person because the way that I do the woods, Janine runs in the woods. I walk to places and then I set up camp. I mean, I literally have a plastic raincoat, poncho, rain poncho that I put on the bottom. So I could, then I put a blanket, I put a neck pillow and a couple of pads. I got another blanket that I wrap up that I carry on the backpack, and I have my poncho, which is also like a blanket. I mean, I've got, you know, a ski hat and a hoodie on, and I was kind of inside kind of laughing going, because it was just this, it was telepathic. I could, and it was empathic. I went, they think I'm homeless, and they left, and I was kind of like, you know, yeah, this is my bedroom today. Thank you for not taking pictures. No, I was just joking. But to be honest, once they came and went, I stayed for a few minutes longer, but there's some magic that I have that I there are places I can go in the woods that I know they're uphills, and, you know, I don't get disturbed. When I go to places like towards the reservoir, I know there's a potential that people will come, but that's part of, you know, what the triggering. So I pack up and I'm walking back up towards my car, and I was kind of running this through my head, you know, somewhat chuckling and somewhat going, you know, are you really ready to leave the woods? Because I'm always, it's so funny, when it's always time to walk back to the car, I'm always like, no, let's sit on, I have rocks that I sit that are basically on the path back out. Then I'm like, let's just enjoy this. So then I get to the top. Like, I'm at a place that's about 15 feet from my car. And adjacent to my car is a van with like 8 people. And they're all getting out of the car. And it's like all of a sudden the sun had come out. From my time that the women were there until I got back to my car, a shift had happened in the weather. And it was feeling really warm and sunny. And so there were people coming out. They were taking off sweatshirts. And, you know, you could tell they were getting ready to hike. But and they were all excited. But when I was coming up, I had my hoodie on. I had a black ski hat, my poncho, black gloves, and my backpack. You know, I still look like it was cold and wintry. So I get up to where, you know, I'm passing this van, and this guy goes to me, how long you been out there? And I'm like, since noon?
It's such a great story.
Well, because it was so, because I'll be honest with you, as soon as he said it, I went, exactly, they think I'm homeless. I know they think I'm homeless. And I was like, no, it's really not like that. I go, I just happen to like to travel. I like to hike in comfort. I bring the comforts. I like pillows. I like cushions. I like snuggly blankets. Because that's how Goldie does the woods. You know what I mean? Like, it's my bedroom out in nature. And
right,
but
right.
I was cracking up. So, you know, I walked to my car. I started, you know, removing some of my clothing, like the hat and the sweatshirt and the poncho. I mean, I stopped looking like I would, you know, was a homeless person. And he walks over to the side of my car, and he saw the magnets. And he goes, what's this? And I went, oh, that's my radio show. And he goes, are you Golden Hawk? And I went, I am. And then he turns to his group and he goes, hey, Princess Golden Hawk is here. Princess Golden Hawk is here. And
oh,
I was like, oh, my God. Like, you know, no, just Golden Hawk. You know, like, I was a little embarrassed, but it was almost like he was so playful that I started laughing. And I went, you know, just out of curiosity, who are you guys? You know, they were a pretty large group from what I'm used to. And he goes, we're the conservatory something or other. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And he looks me straight in the eye and he goes, we're the caretakers of the forest.
Oh, is that great or what?
Holy shit. I was like, I swear to God, it went into a Lord of the Rings moment. I was
totally,
like,
completely.
It was amazing.
Oh, I love this story.
It was like so funny because remember in Lord of the Rings when the king in the beginning was just a ranger, remember, and he had the black cloak on.
Yeah,
when he first
found
Frodo and Sam in the restaurant thing where he had to save them because they were just, you know, they were waiting for Gandalf and he hadn't shown up yet. That's exactly what it felt like. It was like, you know, like, you know, how long you been out there? Like, I don't know, about 3 hours. I think I can handle it.
Right, but also it also had such a, you know, an archetypal mythology fairy tale.
I mean,
when he said, "You're Golden Hawk," and you know, and then they're the caretakers of the woods. I mean, it was when you told me that story, I was just this couldn't get better. You know,
it really was fun. And you're such a great person to tell it to because you really do get the. You know, because, like, here's another thing I've been noticing lately. When I wake up in the morning, for about, there's really no time limit, but it's not just a few seconds. I'm talking half an hour, 45 minutes. I can lie there, open my eyes, but not really move around a lot, but I'm clearly awake. I'm not sleeping anymore, and I can continue my dreaming. Like,
that's amazing.
Well, and this is what I'm getting is that if we're the dream state, this is like another integration. The dream state and the waking state are integrating. Because there was definitely, like you just said, there was something very magical, Lord of the Rings, in starting with the women who took the picture, who, you know, initially just... I just sensed that they thought I was homeless. It was never verbalized. They didn't say anything to me. You know, where the inner world and the outer world are reflecting each other. And it's not just that it's just reflecting, quote unquote, you know, the third dimensional five senses. You know,
right,
I'm talking
right.
The magic is being reflected, just like in the movies Lord of the Rings, you know, where... Their world is, well, in Lord of the Rings 2, the trees saved them, right? They saved the tower.
Oh, absolutely, They broke the dam and all the water came gushing down and then the tower.
And they were throwing
rocks
at it. I mean,
And they had been disrespected. That wizard used to be the friend to the forest and he turned and, you know, and then... He really started destroying all the trees around the tower, and those were the trees' friends. And so that was it. You know, they broke the dam and washed all the garbage, ugly stuff away. And then, you know, that's one of my favorite parts.
I was in the theater. I yelled, "Yeah, the trees!" It's so uncommon for a tree to be a hero. You know, you don't see that often. And, you know, but you know,
but,
so.
But you're right about that. It's a really interesting noticing that now, you know, that intrigues me because you're right that the experience you had in the forest, there is a, like, it feels to me like there is a blending or a mixing of of the worlds, so to speak. Like, and you know, maybe that's, you know, back before things got maybe really sort of corrupt and, you know, over-conditioned and, you know, sort of, we, you know, the ancient truth sort of kind of got forgotten or whatever, but,
right.
Or the overlays over overlays over overlays, you know, you start really losing the magical aspects of life, which was your experience. And I love that you equate it similarly to, because this, I love when this gets a little complicated where I'm like not comprehending it, but like I know there's something there for me to want to know more about, which was when you said, you know, I wake up and yet I'm in my awake state, but I still, the dream world is still active while I'm awake.
Yeah.
And then somehow you equated that to the, you know, of obviously a very awake state in the woods, but there was something going on, which to me, I'm thinking now, this is a more uncorrupted way of living or noticing where, which, because if you even listen to, say, the Aborigines who, you know, or the indigenous people where they haven't been over conditioned or programmed, they talk about the waking state and the dream world kind of being like they're interrelated, they're kind of always happening, so to speak.
Yeah,
or
absolutely.
Where the,
absolutely.
You know, where they live the storytelling. And
yeah.
So
you
literally did live like a chapter out of like a fairy tale to me.
Yeah.
You know, when he said Princess Goldeneye. You know, I just really, it's just perfect. Perfect, yeah.
It was. I love the way, see, everybody in their life should have a Janine, because there's nothing greater than telling your story to somebody that you can feel, they feel what you're feeling, or at least what you're, you know, on some level, the depth of what you feel, that,
yeah.
You know, it's, you don't want somebody to just bring the story into their heads. You want them to feel the magic.
In, right.
Yeah, and you
right.
do that. It, and
right.
Well, and because another thing that came up also this week, which, and it's 9/11, of course. I look at 9/11 all the time, is I want to talk about timing.
Okay.
I want to talk about timing because... See, and it's so interesting. Timing and timelessness, that's also integrating.
Okay.
You know, everything that there's a polar opposite to is integrating right now. That's why there's no kicking anything to the curb. You know, everything is coming together. That which was separated, which is just about everything, is coming back together. So... I had gotten a hit when I was in the forest that I need to join the YMCA, and I basically got that I needed to submerge my body in water, because it's interesting, when I go to the woods and I am at this place where the three women showed up, I'm right on the edge of the forest, which surrounds a reservoir. And all summer long, I've never gone into the water, mostly because, not because it's the rules, even though it is the rules, but that's not why I haven't gone into the water. I don't go into the water because I have fears that giant monsters are at the bottom. And I'm working on getting over that, but I can tell you those kind of things, even dipping my toes in actually brings some fear into my world. And so if I was to do that, I really need somebody there with me just to kind of consciously say into my head, it's just a reservoir. You know, like, are you sure a great white shark isn't in here? It's like, no, a great white shark is not
in
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I got the hit in the forest that, you know, my father swims like two or three times a week. I mean, God bless him. He's 78 years old and he's more active than I am. Bless his soul. Oh, and I do need to say something else about... our bodies. Which, actually, I'm going to interrupt this this what I'm sharing with you right now, because I heard this on George's book last night, and this was very important. I want to share this.
Okay.
For everybody that's feeling the sensation of being really like your body's aging way, way faster than what your biological clock, so to speak, should be aging. Like, you know, the to the extreme, it would be, what do they call that disease when your nerves are raw and I can't think of it, but I'm personally been feeling lately, I'm losing my flexibility. I'm losing my ability to bend. I'm losing my virility. It's not that I still have the energy. I just can't express it through my body. It's like my body is feeling 100 years old. And like sleep is a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you, when I wake up and I first get out of bed and start to walk around, it's like, oh my God, my body is just so stiff and achy and fibromyalgia. That is the name of the George says that, and I just caught this. It's so funny. I read the book. I didn't catch half this stuff. George says that for everybody that's not in alignment with the, how does he put it? God bless quoting, you know, somebody who's totally open and aware. Okay, there is a frequency coming in through the powers that be that is a frequency of limitation I'm losing it. God, don't lose it, Goldie. I can't think of the word that he used. But here's the bottom line. If you know you're on the organic pathway, you know that. You know you're going to birth with Mother Earth, and you're feeling it. Your body's feeling just really like your ass is kicked, and all you did was go to bed. You know, it's not like, you know, you went on water slides or, you know, you climbed Mount Everest. You simply went to bed, you woke up, and your ass was kicked.
Right.
He says that it's literally all of us that are not in resonance with these frequencies, it's showing up in our body as fibromyalgia, and like he lived with it for 10 years before he started breaking out of it.
That's right. So that, now I'm recalling that. Yes.
Yeah, I forget what chapter it's in.
No, I remember he even spoke about that on our radio when we spoke with him on the radio.
Oh, about the well, that makes sense because
physical,
this is what the shadow
the
side is.
Physical challenges, yeah.
Well, and it just struck me that it's really important to know that these are frequencies that are, you know, I just wish I could remember what the frequencies are trying to get us to do, because I forget what, because, you know, when we were talking earlier and we were talking about, you know, becoming sovereign, you know, how much there's, because it's not necessarily the food, and I'm not saying Monsanto doesn't have a play in this, but I'm talking there's literally a frequency coming in that I know it. It's like, I don't know if it's from the media, from the television, or it's from towers, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, because the truth is, whatever this frequency that's just twisting my energy field, and it reminded me of the time when I first got Reiki Master, the induction, whatever, you know, the initiation, within 5 seconds of my friend Doug, who had given that to me, I had a raging earache for like 3 weeks. I mean, it was like, I actually went to the doctor and let him stick like a 6-inch needle into my ear. I can't even tell you how, I had to scream. I was so scared. It was like, you're going to puncture my brain. He's like, I'm not going to puncture. I'm like, you can't put a 6-inch needle into my head. And it was, but it all literally came when I got Reiki Master. So I'm starting to have the understanding of the organic, the people who are, myself included, you included, and most of the people listening, are our bodies being really, you know, twisted kind of, and there's a corruption because our bodies are not accepting these, you know, I feel like on some level it's a frequency that's preparing the other parts of the public that when we have this thing happen in the arena, you know, in the public arena, these frequencies will be, you know, they're going to be like zombie people, not necessarily zombie people, but it's the frequency that they resonate with to go about in the artificial timeline. And so it struck me really from a timing point of view when I heard, because I heard this like last night, I think it was, or the night before. And when I had the hit in the woods, go to the water. You need water. Like, I totally got the sense of, like, you know when a woman goes into contractions and they talk about doing a water birth?
Yeah.
You know, and they,
yeah.
Right? They blow up the tub in their house, and it's usually done at home. It's not done at a hospital. Not that, I mean, some hospitals do it, whatever.
Or they even have birthing centers with tubs in them. You
exactly.
Know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got that, and I discussed this with Janine, because it was so funny. I discussed it with Scott and my dad, and they both were like, you can't afford the YMCA. You know, do it when you get a job, which is, you know, love you guys, but that's not the way these things work. So I got the hit on Friday, I think, or sometime last week, and I was just like, okay, I need to sit in water. I'm not quite, it's not that I wasn't sure why. I knew why. It was like there was self-care in this, and there was something about the water and the magic of the water, because it's not just about sitting in water to actually help, like, help me, which it is absolutely doing. I can't believe the flexibility that has come back into my body since sitting literally 15 minutes in a steam room, 15 minutes in a whirlpool, and 15 minutes in a sauna. I mean, I'm like, is it that easy? I mean, for real? Is it that easy to bring back some life to my body that, and at least for the moment, yes, it is that easy. But of course, it's all the decisions that have to be made to get me into the YMCA. I can't even tell you how my mind challenged me. Was like, you can't afford it. You can't afford it. What are you thinking about? You can't afford it. And it's like, you know, and I'm getting to the point where it's like, you know, literally giving my middle finger to my mind. Like, you know, fuck you.
Yeah,
anyway.
I knew right away it was a fantastic idea. I was like,
you did.
Wow, is she smart? This is genius, because I had never heard you talk about it. And the minute I read it, I was like, that is so good, you know. And
it is.
It
right
is.
On,
and it was right, it was sort of the responding to the timing and the opening of a different way, because, you know, yeah, I mean, you're in the woods, I'm in the woods, and all of a sudden now you're in the water, and it
well,
really
I'm actually
is,
in the water. That
it
is
a,
so
it is
different.
Really a right choice.
Highly recommend it to everybody. And forget,
yeah.
You don't necessarily need the YMCA bath.
Although the YMCA
baths.
Is great, you know. I mean, I
well,
think
they
that
do work
things,
with you financially.
Right, and they're available, and, you know, you
right.
don't need a fancy schmancy gym. You
no,
know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right,
none
right,
of that.
Right,
yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of the things that was amazing is the whirlpool, like I've been in jacuzzis at some of these very wealthy houses that I've nannied in, but I'll tell you, the whirlpool at the Y must be an industrial strength, because I shut my eyes, like at one point I turned it on and I was like trying to get my back where I was like, I want to really feel, you know, the pulsation of the, you know, the force of the bubbling or whatever they,
yeah.
however they do it. And when I was forcing my back, it didn't work right. I mean, it kind of shut it down. And then I went into the space where I was like, well, what would happen if I just kind of went limp and surrendered? And holy moly, I swear to God, I shut my eyes. And I was, like, literally taken into a wormhole. I was traveling through a wormhole. Mm-hmm. In fact, it absolutely reminded me of Jodie Foster in the movie First Contact, where, remember when they built the chair in the thing?
Yeah.
And in the beginning, she was going, bruh, 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 bruh. And then when she left the chair, it was like...
floating, yeah.
Floating, still.
Yeah.
Well, the water had me feeling like I was in the chair, but it was not... It was organic, as much as, you know, I'm comparing it to the non-organic in the movie, that it really was, there was this like incredible massage happening to my entire spine, happening to my lower back, my shoulders, my neck. The water was like splashing over the top of my head, so it was trickling down on top of me. I mean, a woman came in at one point and goes, "Are you okay?" You know, and I opened my eyes and I went, "Oh my God, I'm very okay. I don't think I've ever been so okay. Oh my God, I'm so okay." And she was like, okay. You know, and I laughed because I told Janine, I go, "How funny that," because I could tell I was really, my body went limp. I was exploring. The water was absolutely magically taking me dimensionally. I mean, and it was definitely from, you know, I mean, first I went into the steam room and every cell in my body opened up and I was just like, well, check this out. Talk about detox.
You know, like
the bottoms of my feet were sweating. I was like, and it hit me. I went, wow, my soles are sweating, are opening. You know, and I was like, that's what, it, so I steam roomed, I opened up, I went into the whirlpool and got, you know, went through a wormhole. I mean, there really is, that's exactly what it felt like to me. And then went into the sauna, you know, and kind of came back into my body. It was like a grounding, the heat. One thing I like from the woods, I liked a nurturing warmth.
Right.
And it felt so, the whole day was like, oh, God, this is so nurturing. And then I took a hot shower, and I was leaving. I was like skipping, you know, humming. And as soon as I opened the door out of the ladies' locker room area, I see my dad is standing at the counter talking to the lady who just, you know, hooked me up. And I was just like, of course. Of course. And, you know, and he didn't look at me, you know, because I had a twinge of, oh, shit. You know, is he going to be like, what are you doing here? You can't afford it. He was just like, ah, there goes the neighborhood. My father's always joking.
No, it's such a good call, Goldie. Such a good call.
It was so good. I highly recommend. But however you can get into the water. Because I'll be honest with you, it's not that, you know, showers. I don't know why life presents these beautiful, amazing experiences for me. I'm truly grateful for them.
Yeah.
You know, because I get the sense, you know, I'm not trying to brag, not at all. I'm just letting you know that I haven't had a steady work in over 2 years, blah, blah, blah. But I swear to God, when it comes to doing soul work, you get what you need in miraculous ways.
Right.
I believe that because I am blessed to have a steam room, a sauna, and it's so wonderful because it's literally in this one part of the Y. I'm like, I don't even need the pool. I mean, I'm just so self-contained, just like I am when I'm in the woods and just like I am when I'm at my father's house. You know, it doesn't require a lot of space. It doesn't require a lot of money. It doesn't require a lot of anything other than the awareness of the hit came to me. And I want, Janine is going to share with you, because this is also the point of the story. There was a timing. I got the hit, and with all the mind crap that was going on in my head since I got the hit to join, I could hear myself saying, okay, well, maybe I'll do this, you know, when I get the job. Maybe I'll do this when I actually have saved up all the money that I need. And finally, I was like, maybe you just do this, like, as soon as you get a couple of dollars in your pocket and make it happen. Like, you know, like, in other words, the time is now. That you got the hit now. You got to strike now, Goldie. Strike now. We're in October, man. This ascension is happening. There's things going on consciously that too many people say, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And, boy, I can't tell you enough, if you want these insights.
Or the reasons why you shouldn't do it, you know, and you talk yourself out of it because, you know.
Right.
And it really is that exactly that, because it is so doable when you really think about it. I mean, you started
finding. That's exactly
finding,
right. Because you wouldn't get the hit if it wasn't doable.
And then they let you test run it for a while. So, you know.
Well, right, because I signed up and she the woman was brilliant. She goes, why don't you just sign up, you know, for 1 month, and if you like it, then commit to a year. And a year is $450, which I have it, but, you know, if the car breaks down, you kind of want your rainy day fund kind of stuff, especially when you don't have money coming in. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? It cost me 75 or 85 bucks to do it just from now until December. But I was like, that makes sense. Just, yeah. And I'll be honest with you. That was another question I kept asking myself. Should I do it for the whole year or should I just do it, you know, monthly? And what kept coming up was just do it monthly. I got never. We'll see what happens in mm-hmm. in December because I might just keep doing it monthly.
Yeah, which is fine too. I mean,
It ends up costing more, but I think I might have a resonance.
There's advantages to that, yeah.
Of course. Yeah. It costs more in the long run, but in the present, it costs less.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you talked about, something presents itself and it doesn't have to be fancy or, you know, involving,
right.
Lots of money. And, you know, I live on a farmhouse that the road that I live on has no sewer so all the houses, no matter, you know, whether they're, you know, $100,000 homes or multi-million dollar homes, all the houses
have wells.
Yeah, they're septic
okay.
for sewers,
oh,
right?
Septic. So, oh, I see. Okay,
right.
Okay.
And they've been that way forever because there just is no sewer here. So, you know, this is an old house. Some parts of it have been built in, like, 1840. And then, you know, it's been, you know, some parts have been added and things like that. But still there's an old septic tank. And my brother came to live with me when his marriage ended. So you see how this is all, like, coming together. And, you know, that was a sad story. But then my brother's fantastic, and he's very natural, too. And, you know, he's inventive, and he can build well. So he's like, hey, so I'm going to build an outdoor shower, you know, really nicely surrounded by cedar wood and, you know, get the hot water out there because all the months that we can use the outdoor shower, you're not adding to the septic system by floating it, right? So this is us trying to be smart and practical and, you know, not always have to empty the septic tank and, you know, that's a big hassle and it's cost money. So,
right.
So my brother builds this outdoor shower and it's on the south side of the house and under a tree next to the house. And,
nice.
I mean, I can only tell you that it is every time you take an outdoor shower, every time. It's transformational. It's like it's like this. Do things get any better than this? And you're like, no.
No.
And
exactly what I was feeling when I was in the water today.
Right.
Exactly.
And it was just incredible. So it's just so funny how these small but wonderful things work out and how nurturing they are. And, you know, they weren't because, you know, we went to some showroom at some fast fixture
right.
place and said, I have to have the $50,000 outdoor shower. You know,
you see some of those pictures on Facebook. I laugh when, you know, where there's these incredible bedrooms and living rooms and pool rooms.
I know.
They're gorgeous. And
they're
there's
so
no lie that they're gorgeous.
They're so overrated.
Oh, my, because it's so man-made. It's like, boy, I can show you gorgeous where, you know, it's messy and it's chaotic. It's called the forest. I mean,
I know, and I have tree limbs over the shower where, like, squirrels are basically, like, running over you. It
nice.
Just doesn't get any better, you know?
It doesn't.
Every day, maybe sometimes twice a day, it's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. You know,
right
so,
on.
So
right
yeah,
on.
So it's just,
well, but
it's just
on
great.
That note, I want the sharing of timing. Janine has two amazing stories that she told me earlier in the week, and I went, are you open to sharing those?
Yeah,
she said
well,
she is.
It's about a friend and a friend of hers. So it's, you know, this happened a while ago, like years ago, but it truly is about literally organic openings and windows of opportunity when you're being supported, say, by, you know, planetary alignment, energies, you know, all the forces that may be, you know, your soul's going, now's the time. And so the story is that I told Goldie was it's the story of how you can work with it, and if you don't, how you can miss an opportunity that's actually major. So my friend had a friend and they knew each other for a long time, and her friend was pretty much a really bad alcoholic, and, you know, blackouts and dangerous, and, you know, even had a child, and, you know, being a raging alcoholic's not very good when you have a child, and it was bad. And so my friend who knew astrology even from childhood, because their family was sort of in that old tradition of knowing astrology, which I think is very cool.
I think it's very cool, knowing
the heavens, you know. So anyway, my friend...
And discussing it in the family, because God knows we didn't discuss it in my family.
Right, it was mother, daughter, grandmother. They kind of talked about it. So anyway, my friend went to an astrologer that she knew well, and she gave her all the details of this person, time of birth, where, all of it. And she said, look, my friend's really, really a bad alcoholic, and I want to tell her she needs to go get help, but I want you to tell me when would be the right time for her to go. So the astrologer said, okay. And she gave her this window, which actually was, you know, intuitively, interestingly enough, it was pretty soon in the future for this woman. So my friend took the chance and said, look, I went to this astrologer. This is the window of time. You can address this addiction and get some help, and it will actually support you getting better and kicking this. And her friend, although she was mad at her, and really, you know, who are you to tell me, blah, 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 she actually went to a rehab center, and it wasn't even that difficult. She kicked it. She never, ever really had a drink again and really had an alcohol problem to this day, actually. And it was amazing because my friend literally saw this window of opportunity helping and supporting this person. And years later, maybe like 10 years later, 15 years later, this person actually lost the child in an accident. And she literally thanked
her.
Lost
meaning she died.
Yes, she died. She died in a tragic accident. And she came to my friend who had, you know, done the astrology thing and told her about getting help. She came to her and she said, I just want to thank you for telling me when to go and to get help, even though I was angry at you. And I did it, but it's because of you, because if I had ever been an alcoholic and drinking actively when my child died of this accident, I would never have been able to ever forgive myself, and I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't may have made it. And it was an extraordinary, life-changing experience for my friend as well, because she had, you know, she had been part of this. And So it was a real amazing thing. Now, the other side of that is this friend of mine was married to an alcoholic, addictive drug person. And similarly, she got the times when it would have been perfect for him to go get help. And he didn't. And then he didn't do it then, but then like 2 years later, because the marriage was threatening to end, which really, it really had already ended, but, you know,
right.
I mean, energetically, it had already ended.
Right.
But
right.
He went to go get help, but it never worked. And to this day, it still hasn't. And it really seemed so obvious that there are these windows of opportunity, these windows where you're supported, and it's like, pay attention. And it could be even in the most simplest way, but these are bigger ways where, you know, you're dealing with major addictions and life-changing, you know, opportunities where, you know, I could say that my thing with my son last week was one of those moments where I could deal with a heartbreak, and I did, and I felt the shift in within, you know, 24 to 36 hours. Okay, so that was like a refinement thing, you know, where these were major issues. And, you know, Goldie's sort of, I think I should be in the water and move my body in the water and, you know, sauna. And she acted on it because I believe it's a window of opportunity as well, you know.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, what do you do with these stories? I mean, I just think that they're really for us to consider, that when we get an instinctive knowing of doing something, you really want to consider that that perhaps is because you're being supported at that time to take that action because this is this is an opportunity. You know, and so
it appears that the opportunity is also extraordinarily supported
in
the non-physical somehow.
I also think this plays into the kind of unexplainable but sensory kind of knowing that, you know, you and the dream and the awake time are sort of playing together. And they're melding together, and then you in the forest, and the whole you're golden princess, golden hawk, and they're the caretakers of the forest. There's a melding going on, you know, and I think that it's both internal and it's the outer forces as well, and
I'm being prepared. For what? I'm not trying to say I'm being prepared for, a Galactic Federation of Light mission. This is not but I'm being prepared, in all honesty, for what I've come to the conclusion of. I'm being prepared to die.
Even just to fully know yourself, to be fully integrated or to be conscious of, these are, I believe that what happens is, who you actually think you are and thought you are is nothing to who you really are and who
I
know. And I think that if even knowing that could be seen as a form of a death, I'm not quite sure it even has to be physical. I just think the old belief systems are so horrendously false that you literally are being prepared to let them go. Because I really feel that there's a way of living that is so different to the way of living that has been, suggested here.
And that's being light when you say suggested.
Yeah, I am. I'm being kind of funny. That's when this melding of knowing and interacting with, the supportive forces, so to speak. Because, it's funny because if you read how I describe my initiation art processes that I did in like 93, 96, and then I realized what I was doing. I literally, and I didn't know at the time, I mean, I said this, but now I understand it even deeper, that I say that we're self-initiating ourselves, but we're cooperating with the supportive creative forces. And So there we are. I'm saying that back then, knowing it on some level, but not really.
But you're
knowing
living
it. Like
it
I know.
On this,
right.
You're living
right.
It consciously today.
Right. Right. So it's it's just it's fun to even discuss it on the radio because I always talk about how we approach these subjects and they. You know you're on to something, but you're not quite sure, so you just keep going because then you start to really understand it even more,
Well, I got to share this because it comes up for me that I think it's important, first of all, me and Janine talked about this earlier in the week. First of all, addictions are, they're a funny thing because, first of all, we're all fucking addicted. Let's get off our high horses, whether it's addiction to heroin or it's addiction to food or sex or shopping or prescription medicine or street drugs. We're addicted to TV. Addictions are...
Or over-communicating, like when stillness and silence would be more
right on,
appropriate.
Right on.
I think, George said it well. He said, if you're in the third dimension, this is
you're
an addiction.
Addicted.
This
well,
is
and
an
so,
addiction.
That's
so I really love that because I've been saying that for a while going, oh, come on, we're all addicts. And, people look at you like, what?
Well, they don't want to be associated with it.
I've
seen all people raise their eyebrow, the wealthy raise their eyebrow. I don't have that poor man's addiction. It's like, no, you're doing fucking heroin in your own bathroom. I'm just not impressed. or you're doing, you're popping pills.
Right.
Well, but my point is that so when we get the intuitive hits, something inside of us goes, I was speaking to a friend of mine. I'm not going to bring up any names. She said to me that she had gotten a hit that she should quit smoking in 2012. And I, every time I go to her house or hang out with her, you know, she's still smoking, and I'm like, you know, how's the quitting going? And, you know, there's, she's coming up with these excuses. And it's like, there's this, it's a very sensitive topic, and I'm not telling anybody that I still have addictions. This is not about, I'm not bashing right. anybody saying you're bad for having addictions. I'm telling you, when your inner voice shares with you to do something, give that a bigger space. And I invite you and recommend to you, when you get the inner voice, understand that that is the time to move. It's almost like the cat that's a predator and we're gonna talk about the fires. The cat that's a predator, you know, in the wild, they know exactly when to stomp. You know, it's like they crouch low and they're hunting, and then all of a sudden, bam, you know, they jump on their prey. And, you know, I get it, you know, in Africa, they could go for a chase too. Those gazelles just, you know, they're not going to sit around waiting to be stomped on.
Right.
But I'm really just trying to enhance the idea that when we get those subtle whispers, that it's not a voice in your head screaming, listen, I'm here to help you drop this habit, whatever this habit is, because it's time for you to take in an energy that you know yourself without this habit. You know, because light, the addiction is very much a part of the matrix. Letting go of addictions is very much a part about your soul. And it's the whole journey, because our addictions are ultimately covering up what we're feeling. So we're tearing off these layers of the onion, which is
right,
the matrix,
right,
in order to feel more. And why are we doing that? Because our soul is going, I'm in with you. I'm actually in your body with you. Let's feel this together and integrate it. You know, it's not going to kill you. It's going to make you stronger. I'm here. It's amazing if you ask anybody who's overcome any kind of serious addictions, and again, that means anything from food to sex to heroin to cigarettes, they'll tell you that the journey is, there's such an intimate getting to know yourself and an intimate confidence that nothing could have ever given you this outside of you. It is the journey of going within and dancing with yourself that you receive this, it can't almost even come into words, but it's becoming your own savior. You know, no religion is going to get you that. No drug is going to get you that. No orgasm is going to get you that. It's being there for yourself. And this is something that I get it, in our culture, we do not talk about death, but intuitively I'm getting this right now as we speak. Intuitively, I'm getting that the strength we acquire from letting go of addictions, because we're literally blending and melding with our own souls to do it, is going to help us when whatever the point in time it is that we let go of the third dimensional body to then do the next stage of our game, whether we're birthing into the fifth dimension or going back home to our galactic families, whatever it is we're doing, we're going to need the fuel for that to make it a harmonious journey is found in the harmony we have when we listen to our intuition and we actually allow it to shift our behaviors. Not that we put our intuition in basis. When we get the intuitive hit to quit an addiction, or at least begin, you know, doing something in that direction, when we don't do it, we've just essentially told our, you know, intuition, our soul, our higher self, mm-hmm. you're not in charge here. Get back to the back of the bus. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, so if you're doing all these intentions, you know, to ascend and everything, the changes that come with them are the divine opportunities, because you've intended to ascend. You know, this is It goes hand in hand. Trust in yourself that you are strong enough to do it. Because first of all, what our strength and our spirit, like the human spirit, is just absolutely amazing, in my humble opinion. Amazing what we can endure. And there, it's very different to endure the pain of coming out of the matrix than it is to endure the pain going in. And in my humble opinion, it's two different experiences.
Yeah.
And
say that again.
I've experienced
like, what's two different experiences? I'm curious.
The pain when you're coming out, like what you experienced in heartbreak, you did it consciously.
Right.
And you integrated it. And so what I call you integrated out of the matrix of heartbreak and came into the self-conscious, self-aware aspect of self-love.
Okay,
you
right,
know,
right.
Where
right.
Pain, when you first got the heartache, could have been from a boyfriend in high school or your husband, was very
different.
Or even
different your parents,
when you,
earlier
or
than
your
that,
parents,
your parents,
right.
Right.
Or
yeah.
And in other words, when your heart was first broken, that's very different than what you experienced consciously coming out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but
yeah.
But we won't know that conscious difference until we, because there's so many of us that are like, listen, I did that heartache. I'm not going there again. It's like, no, you got to go there again. You got to go there again to become whole, because it's out there. There's a part of you that's fractured, and that part is going, hey, I want to come back home. The addiction is about keeping parts of us out.
Right.
And
right.
The intuition is going, listen, that part of you wants to come home. And that part of us is the shadow. It's the ugly, smelly, disgusting side of us.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah, the addiction's the big tip-off, you know? It's like, you know...
It is.
It really is the big tip-off that, you know, there's, what, as I would say, very rich territory waiting to be discovered. You know,
exactly.
That's
exactly.
How I always see that. And so, you know,
you are a master at seeing it like that, too. You are.
And making someone feel good about their addiction because there's so much promise, you know, about what's underneath that, what the tip
absolutely.
Off is, you know,
absolutely.
That, right. And that's why I always want to, you know, kind of not promote, but,
support.
Imply
okay.
is that we are not our own enemy. Because when people
right.
act a certain way and fearful and of their, then I get the feeling that they feel that they're their own enemy. And I'm like,
right.
no. If you know, this is the invitation that
to be your own savior.
Right. That if you truly understand love. You know, even a little bit, that you can't possibly be your own enemy. That,
right.
you know,
it's right.
literally, it's impossible, you know,
yeah.
because, yeah, so it's always
yeah,
something that I'm happy to point out to people and help them understand that when all of a sudden you can feel, it's almost like, you know, the wall of Jericho or the matrix code starts falling apart when you realize that you are not your own enemy, you know, and,
right
and
on.
All this, yeah,
right
and then there's this,
definitely,
right, yeah, so,
definitely, definitely, beautifully shared, yes,
thank you,
you're welcome, oh,
perfect.
Tonight was awesome,
perfect.
There is phenomenal
say,
energy
you know?
Here tonight, yes, I am
oh.
feeling it, it's like, there's just great clarity, great storytelling going on,
yeah,
great insight, great audience, I'm really, you know, I know we give you a lot to listen, you know, and a lot to think about, but, you know, if you think about it, it's really all just, it's almost like it's pieces of the awareness puzzle, you know, because, like, you know, it sounds so funny, but becoming our own best friend, that's a game changer. You know, and I remember saying, you know, I am my own worst enemy. I mean, I was almost quoting when I first went to therapy, like, why am I such a smart woman?
Oh, no,
well,
I said it
choices.
Too. And I said
yeah.
it too. And, it, you know, it's, and you hear people say it, and then, you know, it yeah, I know it's catchy and it's cliche-ish and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, these are
but
the things
that telling, too. I mean,
well, these are the things that you start recognizing that we've been telling ourselves, you know, the wrong things and, you know, the what we literally, what is believed to be true is literally upside down. You know,
yeah,
the opposite is true. So,
exactly.
You know, and I love that because another thing is these, and we didn't talk about this, but even the ability to ask the questions.
Oh, right. That's right.
It creates the space inside of us for that truth to come in. You know, so, when you start literally jiggling these belief systems around, what's good about them is they literally start, you know, falling apart, breaking down,
exactly.
Going away. And that's a good day, you know.
Well, no, listen, they do that if you continually, because they also buck up. And, you know,
yeah.
Our ego is not just going, hey, all right, you're all on soul now. Okay, listen, see you later. Our ego is fighting just like the Illuminati are fighting. It does break down, but there is a level of, you know, because I always say, initially when you're looking to break down a habit or an addiction, initially it really takes, God bless, it takes your attention, your energy. You got to be fierce. Fierce for your own life. Fierce. Like, I got to stay on this because you can feel the addiction saying to you, come back. A great show to get this, Couples Therapy on VH1. There's a guy who's an alcoholic, and his wife loves him, and she's like, I mean, she's taken him to the hospital several times, you know, because he drinks himself to near death. And, you know, the therapist, who, by the way, reminds me totally of Janine, she's just brilliant. I mean, just speaking the very same truths that Janine speaks. It's like, you know, she at one point they go to the wife, listen, he loves you, that's obvious, but you've got to make him aware of his consequences. So, unfortunately, you've got to now say, if you don't quit drinking, I'm leaving. And you can tell this is such a hard thing because her love is going, I don't want to leave him. I want to help him. But see, the way it works when we're trying to pull out of an addiction is things don't work the way we've been taught they would work. They're very upside down and inside out. And it comes
right.
down to this inner knowing that, you know, everything about you will, from the conditioned state, will tell you, you know, you're crazy, you're wrong, you're stupid, you're not going to make this, and you're pulling your resources from a different space. It really is. You're pulling your resources from that inner,
yes,
that inner strength of your soul, really, that it's like, I know this is right. And inevitably, when you, it's just like the breakthrough you get from sitting with the pain, there is a breakthrough where the ego literally, then it collapses and it becomes much more incongruent with, I think, therefore I am. You know, it's like, okay, now I'm going to 12-step meetings, or, you know, now I'm, you know, whatever it is that your addiction, you can now, like, I'll still have cigarettes, you know, somebody will be smoking around me, and I'll be like, oh, you know, yeah, I could do that again. Smell it, and, you know, it's tickling the cellular memory of, like, but at this point, you know, I don't know what I am, 4 or 5 years not smoking, and I'm just like, no, but I don't need that to take a deep breath. I don't need that anymore. And, in fact, it was killing me. So, you know, where, you know, in the beginning, you know, it's like, God, I don't want to be around anybody smoking. There won't be nobody smoking because I can't trust myself, you know, because I was supporting myself. Now I don't have to do that. And so I'm just kind of pointing out that, you know, God, get fierce with yourself. And then share with us, or your friends, but feel free to share with us, the breakthroughs that you get from being fierce with yourself. Because I promise you, and Janine will promise you, you'll have them. You cannot not have them. It's the organic process of ascension. I want to make sure that they know where to find you and your book, babe.
Can you believe it's that time already?
Yeah, this went by really fast.
Oh, wow. Okay, so thanks. I have a website. It's www.jlkimmel.com, K-I-M-M-E-L.com. And just check out the What's New, and I have a book, The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle, that just came out. So thank you, Goldie. And
oh, my pleasure. And also, y'all, it was amazing tonight. Listen, everybody's energy that's here from live as well as the archives, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. You know, just to let you know, me and Janine, we got a little bit of some energy going on where we might be having sponsorship soon. So it's because of you guys supporting the show that's coming into its natural, it's birthing itself. And I want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody for sharing this journey with us, because it's pretty amazing. So, and Janine, thank you. I love you, sweetheart.
I love you,
I couldn't
too.
Do it without you. I love doing it with you. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening. All right.
Absolutely.
We'll talk soon.
We will talk soon. Okay, where am I going? We are going.
And then we'll maybe my son, who was quite the wonderful activator, I can get a song to play on the radio next Monday.
Hey, listen, you get them, we'll play them. You know that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, I love you.
Believe it or not, it's a love song.
Yeah, of course I believe it. He's your son.
Playing.
He's deep. I know he's deep.
All right, everyone.
I'll see everyone soon. Bye.
Good night. Good night.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
Songs. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.